The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Who wants to kick it off?
So one of the big challenges must be telling this broad of a story. You've got people all over the world at this point, and it's hard to keep the characters connected, and obviously you get people who want to just see certain characters together. People, everybody wants to see Juliana and Joe get back together. And so how is it juggling all of that story around, and are we hopefully going to see more of the characters in the same space again soon?
Yes, we will. I mean, at the end of season two, we separated Juliana, Joe, and Frank. And season three, the archetype season three, brings all their fates back together in surprising ways, unpredictable. But you also begin to understand in season three how Juliana functions as the center of all these lives across many, many universes. And that's a very weird and ambiguous thing to say, but, you know, her connection to these characters is infinite. And we begin to give a glimpse into that and why she is such a unique
And so your father's work is, like, incredibly expansive and pivotal to science fiction. What's it like being able to, like, put his vision, like, into something that's a visual medium when he's has such, like, massive ideas to deal with?
Well, it's a total privilege and a joy, especially when I have great partners, you know, on these shows. I am surprised that we've had as many adaptations as we've had, because based on Blade Runner's failure, which I don't know if you know that, it was completely... I said to my mom, we left the theater, and I said, nobody will ever make another movie based on my dad's... in tears, based on my dad's work. That's changed. But no, for me, the work that I do is a way to channel grief in a positive way, and I'm just delighted that so many people respond to it. So many artists, in particular, it makes my job a lot easier.
You know, in the current, like, kind of political climate that the whole world is in, with the rise of, like, you know, kind of a new version of fascism and, like, you know, extreme nationalism. You know, how do you think your father would have reacted to the world right now?
I think he would be apoplectic. You know, I mean, Highcastle is an anti-fascist tale. He had such deep fears and anxieties about fascism, and he always described it as the enemy. So I think it feels like we're living in one of his novels at this point, more so every day, because things are so bizarre and troubling. So I think it'd be really painful for him. Hopefully we come out the other side. But yeah, does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does.
How important is it, as the series does kind of veer from Bobby's work, how important is it to try to keep things in the vein that it would be Philip K. Dick? Because there are things that go on in the series that aren't in the books. There are vast differences.
On Highcastle?
Yes.
Like, in terms of we were expanding it?
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you face the challenge of making sure that it stays true to his vision?
I always say that we aim for fidelity in spirit. And according to the themes that he cared most about, which were, you know, the nature of reality and what it means to be human. Those are really important themes throughout. And I, you know, when I partner with people, and I pick partners very carefully, I really believe in empowering them to bring their A-game, to do something special. And to, you know, a lot of these stories were written in the 50s and during Cold War and all that stuff. And so to be able to modernize and find a different way of telling those stories is as critical to modernize it. But I have to say, I haven't really had any issues with that with the groups of people I've worked with. And mostly because they're so collaborative. So we can have these conversations. Like, oh, would that be contrary to what he would think or what he would write? And we just don't do that. We don't go that way. And people have been very supportive of that.
Third season of any show is an exciting place to be because you've had an opportunity to build this world over the past six seasons. Without spoiling but giving us some teas to think, what things surprise you in your collaborations with your writers room and your producers about where certain people in your team want to take things further, take tendrils further as the going through the third season?
Well, I think, I mean, to be honest, it's a constant dialogue between writers, production, the cast themselves about all things you passionately want to investigate and grow and build on. But at the same time, there is a natural progression to one of the things that I think we really, all of us really wanted to do in season three was drill back down into what motivates people, actually about what it was like, what it's actually like to live in this world. And you know, it's been delightful to see. I think season three gets back into character rather than this kind of big cerebral machine. But also, I mean, some of the really big ideas, the really big idea of the season is also inspired by unpublished work by...
To that question, scary question. Yeah, we took my dad started a sequel with material to My Castle.
Right.
Couldn't get back into that Nazi space. It just was too devastating. But he did have a big idea there that we were able to utilize in season three. So I'm very excited about that. New stuff.
Having access to his unpublished work, like, are you able to, like, kind of constantly glean ideas and just concepts for the show, like, from a lot of that? Because I know, like, you know, with, like, the collection of, like, his exegesis and things like that, there's so many huge concepts in there that haven't been dealt with anywhere, so...
Yeah, the exegesis is much more... you probably know what it is. It's his own trying to figure out what had happened with him spiritually and...
Right.
His visions and all of that stuff. So there isn't a lot of narrative stuff, but it is more as thinking about religion, spirituality, and things like that. But you could read it and you could get a general sense of the way in which he thought and what was important to him. And so in that regard, you can make sure to infuse things with that. But I wouldn't ever really take, say, for example, I'm not sure if this is what you mean, but I wouldn't really take another story and use that concept and bring it into, like, High Castle, for example. Unless we're doing an anthology, which we did.
Right.
And in that case, you know, each episode is a short story.
Right.
So one of the interesting things, and I talked to this, to Rufus about this earlier, but was that the season really ended.
It's really intense.
And you came to this place where, with two characters who were villains for much of the series, you sympathized with them. And they actually did something that was for, in a way, the greater good. Can you talk about developing that and just making these characters human, even if they are a Nazi? And, you know.
I think it would be a failure of the show if we didn't show that good people are capable of evil things. You know, it's very easy to dismiss Nazis as monsters or fools or crazies or lunatics of one kind. Just like terrorists dismisses lunatic fringe and religious fanatics. It's not true. Every human being is capable of good and evil. And just given the circumstances and the choices that we may not have to make in our lives, but if you were living a different life, you would have to make, can force you down a road, down a path, where you are complicit in horrors. And, you know, many people in many countries, you know, in the Second World War went through those choices and had to confront them. And they may want to pretend it never happened now, but it did. And we must never allow ourselves to think that fascism can't come out of good society. Because that's exactly where it comes from.
Thank you so much
for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.